So, last couple of weeks, Brother John has attempted at his best to try to share the truth of the Word of God with me and plant some seed. So, now the pastor, I've asked him to come today, and we're going to do the same thing. Well, just before he comes, though, next week, I'd like to watch that video, and then I want some of y'all, I want volunteers, somebody to come up here and share the gospel with me, or someone else. It don't have to be me. If you got two of you want to get together and come up here in front of the class and go through a gospel presentation, I think that would be great. Any volunteers? I didn't think so. Well, if you'd like to volunteer, come to me after class or this evening, or give me a phone call, and we'll work it out. My brother, you want to come forward? So, if you weren't going, no, you're fine. I was just going to say, if you weren't going, if you were just out and about, and you just randomly had a chance meeting with someone, in the store, you're in the hardware section, you're looking for something, electrical box, guy standing there next to you, there's your opportunity.
Is that the setting?
Yep, that's the setting, because that's what I was in yesterday.
So oh, is that right?
Totally applicable, yeah.
So I see you're looking for something here, Menards, and same spot I'm in. Well, I'm struggling trying to fix this this issue I got at home. My wife keeps building the list, and I keep trying to check them off. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but man, I'm just here trying to gather a few things I can make her happy.
Yeah, my wife, wife's wearing me out.
Is she?
Just driving me nuts. I can't get away from her enough.
You can.
I'm just acting. Just acting.
Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. I like my wife, actually. I do. I enjoy her. Yeah. And everything, and I know she has things that she wants fixed, and so I don't necessarily mind, but you know, that's just what brought me here. Yeah. What brought you here?
I got an electrical panel that needs rewired. Some idiot didn't know what he was doing, wired it all up wrong, so I got to fix the whole house wiring. My wife's, you know, she just giving me a hard time about it. I just...
Seems like the world's full of idiots, ain't it?
Totally.
Totally, yeah. I mean, what's funny is that almost everybody in the world seems to be an idiot except you and I. I mean, everybody else is absolutely clueless.
Well, I don't know about you, but I
right.
can't speak for
you,
myself.
You speak for yourself, sure, sure. And I'm glad that you got it all figured out. Do you have everything in life figured out, you think, or just electrical things?
I don't even know if I have that figured out.
You know, you definitely don't have your wife figured out.
No.
I can tell that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't know if any guy really does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're hard to understand.
Hard. I don't know if hard really captures the thought of that. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a lineman.
A lineman?
Build power lines, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You draw lines for a living, then? A lineman?
No, I build the power lines, you know.
Oh, that kind of lineman.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. You build power lines.
Yeah.
Well, that's a dangerous job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
You know, man, power, it's just one of those things. I mean, you don't really see it. Man, when it bites you, you know it.
Yeah.
Amazing, the power. And you're okay working around that.
We take precautions.
Do you?
Yeah.
You ever been shocked?
Oh, yeah.
You ever have one of those light flash before your eyes kind of minute where you thought, maybe I'm just going to check out on this one. This is too bad.
A couple,
like,
yeah.
My heart's kind of like feeling bad.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You've had that?
A couple, yeah.
Wow. Man, if that did happen to you and you did die, you think you'd be all right? Think like, you know where you're going when you die? I mean, are you?
Be dead, so I
you'd
guess
be dead?
It wouldn't really.
Yeah, do you go to church anywhere?
No.
You don't go to church? You're a lineman? And you don't go to church? Man, it sounds like you're flirting with something right there that might not be profitable. I don't know. Have you ever read the Bible?
I mean, kind of, you know, the whole John 3:16.
Do you know John 3:16?
Not by memory, but I see it in the ball games.
Yeah, to hold them signs up, that really saves the world, don't it? The numbers just standing there. John 3:16. That's not something. Praise the Lord for those Christians that are out there doing
it. I think
that.
It's good, those guys, you know.
Do you think that's good?
I guess, you know. It's better than, you know, some of the other stuff goes on.
So you think it's what they're doing is good, but you don't know anything about John 3:16 of the Bible. Why would someone feel a need to even be out there holding up that sign? I mean, why don't you just hold up a sign that says, lineman? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, it's good to know that God, you know, he loves the world.
So John 3:16 tells you that.
Yeah.
So you do know the Bible.
Well, I believe in God.
Because that verse does say, for God so
loved the world.
Loved the world. Yeah.
Well, so I mean, I know that. Something. I know that God loves us.
You were raised in church, weren't you?
I went to Sunday school when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Mom, dad?
Mom, dad, yeah.
Yeah. They must have really loved you to take you to church.
Yeah, mom and dad was good people, yeah.
Did you ever wonder, I mean, I hear all these people all over the world that, for some reason, are kind of stuck on this thing called the Bible and religion, and they just week after week, day after day, there's something there that keeps them coming back. Now, for you, that hasn't necessarily worked that way, but there's a lot of people. Do you think that they have anything there? Do you think they're onto something, or do you think they're just maybe deceived?
I think there's a lot of people that are kind of like emotional cripples and...
Just a crutch.
And then, you know, there's a lot of people, like, what I don't like is, you know, you get around these Christians and they're better than everybody. And everybody's going to hell because you don't live like me.
Holier than thou crowd.
And, yeah. We're not supposed to judge, right?
What verse did you get that from?
Well, you know, it's just judging, you know, we're not... Judge not, lest you be judged.
Judge not, lest you be judged. The Bible does say
that. So we're not supposed to go around judging each other. Why can't we just live and let live?
Do you know the Bible, actually, there's three different words in the Bible for judge. And one of those is judge to condemnation, but the other is just to judge to examine, to judge to make determination. Do you think it's okay? Do you think you made a judgment today when you came to Menards?
Yeah.
Did you make a judgment this morning when you got up? I don't know if you ate breakfast or not. Did you eat breakfast?
Yeah.
Then you made a judgment, didn't you? Did you condemn your breakfast?
No,
of course not.
I ate it.
Yeah, and that's really what that passage is talking about, that we really don't have a place to condemn because we're not God, right?
Right.
But God is in a position to condemn because he's God. He made us. Do you believe that God made us?
Yeah.
You do?
That's everything. So you
believe
the
Bible?
Somehow. Yeah.
You believe the Bible?
Well, I guess.
Do you like,
I don't
believe
not
it
believe
through like every word cover to cover, or are you just kind of like, take it or leave it kind of guy?
Well, I believe it's the good book. You know?
The good book. That's what Bible means, actually.
Yeah.
Good book. Yeah. The book.
I mean, it's, you know, I think it's the teachings are good. You know, we shouldn't steal, and we shouldn't kill, and we shouldn't lie. And,
do you know any other book that might be, in your mind, higher in priority than the Bible? Like, is there another book that you know of that would be better than the Bible?
No, I guess.
You think the Bible's at the top?
Yeah.
How often have you read this good book? Do you read it? Do you have one?
We got one somewhere on the...
Do you?
Yeah, I think under the coffee table.
Oh, under the coffee table, yeah. Drip coffee on. And so you have a Bible, you say is, I mean, amongst... I mean, there's a lot of books in the world. Out of all the books in the world, you say, man, the Bible is at the top. And you're telling me you don't even look at it. You don't open it, you don't read it, nothing. Is that right?
No.
But you believe it.
Well, yeah, I believe it.
But you don't really know what's in it.
Well, I mean, I know, like, the Ten Commandments, you know, we're supposed to, I mean, I try to be a good person, and, you know, I try not to, you know, I try to treat people like I want to be treated.
You're right, that's really good. Do you get that from the Bible, you think?
Yeah.
Do you know a verse that might say that, or no?
No.
You don't, the reality is you don't know a whole lot about the Bible, do you?
I guess not really, I mean.
But what if, you mentioned judging earlier, what if Jesus is our judge, and what if the book he judges you by, when you stand before him, happens to be the Bible that you know nothing about?
I guess I'd be in trouble.
Would you?
Well, if I'm going to get graded, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, if you appear before a judge today, maybe you did something wrong, maybe you didn't, would it be good to know the law that you're going to be judged by?
Well, yeah, I need to know the laws of our society. Yeah. You know, so if I get wrongly accused, I can defend myself.
Or if you get rightly accused, right? So you can at least know why you're accused.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things about the Bible is that God has, in his sovereignty, he has absolutely made it available for you and I to actually know what we're going to be judged by. It'd be horrible to be judged by a law that we didn't even know the standard of. But God's given you an opportunity to know that standard. And so far, you've not taken advantage of that. What keeps you from opening that good book?
Who's got time? Life's... pretty big. I mean, I'm here today doing this. I mean,
you have time for this? Do you have time to eat breakfast this morning?
Well, yeah.
Do you have time to sleep last night? Do you have time to go to work? Do you have time to complain about your wife? Do you have time to go to the bathroom? We have 168 hours in a week. 168 hours. You choose what you do with your time, and I choose what I do with my time. But you're telling me the best book in the world, by your estimation, far above any other book, far above anything that's ever been written, that's what you said, you don't have time to read it. And yet it's that very book that the judge is going to judge you by. Do you see a problem there? So I see one of two things has to be true. Either you really don't believe that that book is as good as you say it is, or you just haven't thought about it.
I mean, I would say I just haven't thought about it, because the Bible's, I believe, God. And I mean, but here's my issue. So the Bible has been rewritten and rewritten, and it's like, how do you know?
How do you know, which Bible?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Are you talking about the Bible that's in Spanish? Are you talking about the Bible that's in Hebrew? Are you talking about the Bible that's in Greek, or the ones in English? Are you talking about just English translations? What are you talking about?
Well, it's just for wherever it started, mm-hmm. till now, so many people have had so many different, and everybody interprets it different, and it's it's been rewritten, and you got this Bible for this, and this Bible for that, and how do you know which one is the Bible?
Well, in reference to that, there really are only two Bibles in the English language. Now, I know there's a lot. There's 100 plus different versions and all, but they really only come from two manuscript sources. You have all this big group that comes from this source that is way, way down the line, like Alexandria, Egypt type source. And then you have this other source that comes through Erasmus, and then it's more of a text that most of the people that believe this sort of thing, as far as wanting to know God, that they would hold to. So really, you can nail it down to two. But even with that, if I was in your place, I think that would be important. I mean, if I thought the book I'm going to be judged by was only in Hebrew, then I'd be learning Hebrew. And if I thought it was only in Spanish, then I'd be learning Spanish, because that would be so important to me that I'd have to know, right? And so that excuse there, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but the answers are there. And if you're really interested in that, I mean, we could talk. But honestly, I've studied that out, and I hold to the King James Bible because, man, it is a pure text for us. And I don't know if you want to take my word for that or not, but if I could show you in this Bible that I have studied, that I'm 100% positive this is the Word of God for us, if I could show you in there what the Bible says is man's number one issue that you have to have dealt with in this life before you die, would you be interested?
Well, sure.
You would?
Yeah.
You would be interested?
Sure.
Well, let me show you in here something. Over here in Romans 5:12, this really does encapsulate for us the number one issue that God has with man. And it just says it very well in Romans 5. And I'm not even in Romans 5 yet. See that? Yep, Romans 5, and in verse number 12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In that text, there's so much given. It says, as by one man. Who do you think that man was?
It was Adam. Oh, he ate that apple.
You did listen in Sunday school.
Well, everybody knows that.
An apple. He ate an apple?
Well, whatever it was.
I think it was passion fruit.
Yeah.
Could have been peach. I don't know what it was. True. Doesn't really say, does
right.
it?
Right.
It just says fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit for the tree. Tree of good and evil, right? He ate. So by one man, that's Adam, right? Sin entered into the world. What was that sin? You said he ate. But was eating of that fruit sin?
Well, God told him not to. So
it was disobedience, wasn't it?
Yeah, he disobeyed.
So, how many commandments existed in that day, but from God to man?
I guess that one.
There was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, the Bible says. That tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou mayest not eat. Eve talking to the devil through a serpent. That's interesting all in itself. And he deceived her. And she ate. And then Adam, who was with her, also ate. We don't really know exactly why he ate. The Bible says he wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. He willingly ate of that fruit, having known his wife also ate. Maybe he just left her and thought, well, if she's fallen, I'm going to fall with her. We don't know all the reasoning. The Bible pins it on Adam and says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And then it says, and death by sin.
So I guess what I don't understand is why Adam's the one that messed up. Why do we all have to pay the price for it?
That's a really, really good question, right? Because it goes on to say in this text, it says that that for one man, by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that's a really good question. I think it goes back to the fact that the way that God has created the procreation of mankind, having children, the Bible talks about the seed of man, and that seed of man is where the sin is. And of course, that's why Jesus, when he came, he was born of a virgin, because he couldn't be born of a seed of a man, because that would have passed sin onto him and his humanity. And so he was miraculously born through by the Holy Spirit actually is what put that seed within her so that she would have a child, 100% man, 100% God, without sin. So every person that's been born, as we know people are born today, of a man and a woman, they don't, man and a man don't produce a baby, that's
right,
for sure.
That's definitely wrong.
Yeah, a man and a dog don't do it,
right?
Right? A woman and a woman don't do it. All those are dead-end streets. But the way that God has created it is that a man and a woman, they come together, and then all those ingredients are right, and the child is born. Because that child's born of a seed of a man, from Adam all the way through, that sin nature passes through the man unto that child. Passed to you, it passed to me. And now all of us have to die. It's called original sin. And you may say, but that's not fair, right? You might say that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
think that's
fair.
Doesn't sound fair to me.
No.
But the reality is that because we have a sinful nature, guess what? We've also sinned, right? And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, right? And it's appointed unto man once to die, right? And then after this, the judgment. So we all have to deal with that issue. The good news is that God actually made a way. The bad news is that as you stand right now, you're condemned. And you will experience not only a death of your flesh, but you will also experience what's called the second death. And the first death is going to land you in a place called hell. But after that, at the great white throne judgment, you're going to be resurrected. And you're going to stand before God. And you're going to have to give an account on why you listen to people like me or why you reject it. Why you listen to the Word of God or why you reject it. When you say that that book is the most important book, yet you don't read it. You say that. So by your own words, you will be condemned. The Bible says, by thy word, you'll either be justified or you'll be condemned. You will either believe the Word of God and acknowledge it as truth, or you'll reject it by doing nothing. What do you think about all that?
It's heavy.
It's heavy, ain't it? It is. It is.
You really studied that thing.
You know, you can make all the excuses you want, but you know, not one soul is going to be saved by an excuse. Or you could take this matter seriously, and you could start looking into it yourself to find out, what is God's view on things? You know, just like I showed you very quickly that man's problem is sin, right? And if you can get that dealt with, then you're going to be what we call right with God. You know, you'll have your relationship restored with God. It was broken in the garden. Adam had to deal with his own sin. And now every one of us, we stand. It doesn't matter what your parents have done. It doesn't matter what your siblings have done. It doesn't matter what your coworkers have done. It doesn't matter what all those religious hypocrites do with the Word. It matters what you do with the Word. Amen.
So, like, you have all these different religions, all these different, you know, version, you know, you got this church over here, you have Pentecostals, Methodists, Catholics, all these different. So, who's got it right? That's what I want to know. How do I know?
You know who has it right? God. Do you agree? God has it right. Is God confused about all these different religions?
Why? I mean, aren't they all good? I mean, don't they all kind of preach the same thing?
There's none good but one, that's God. Amen. You know, what's interesting about religion, and this is what you have to understand, is that God has given us an amazing power to accept or reject His Word. But the background to all that is, things in this world are really run by two things, fear and greed. Do you realize that there are corrupt people in religion that use it for the wrong reasons, to pad their own pocket?
Oh, yeah.
To get themselves a nice jet to fly around. There's one preacher, his last name's Dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to be a preacher if my last name was Dollar.
Right.
Yeah. Come here, Pastor Dollar, preach today, right? But the reality is that in everything, man corrupts it. There's nothing that man hasn't touched that hasn't corrupted. And so what you're going to have to be able to do, and just to even think about the devil, you believe in the devil?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's called the deceiver. And he deceives people because he wants you to go to hell. He wants you to fail. You know, he wants you to reject God because he's rejected God, right? And so he's doing everything. You ever been to an illusion show? I love watching those guys.
Yeah, I've been to cut people magicians, in half and all that. Yeah.
Make balls appear out of ears and everything.
Right,
cool.
Yeah.
Do you know the master deceiver, the master illusionist is Satan? And he's doing his best to create a picture for you so that you never see a need to look into this book, that you might know what God has done for you and his love for you. You see? And so you're going to have to be not deceived, as the Bible commands us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you choose to do with what God has given, you're going to give an account. The devil's not going to give an account for you, but he sure is going to work overtime to try to deceive you.
Well, you know, I know I've sinned, but I've done a lot of good stuff too. I help people. I helped a guy on the side of the road on the way here. He was broke down.
And you jump around a lot. Go from religion, all that. A lot of different ways. You're just trying to avoid the real issue, aren't you? The issue is that you have a problem.
Well, no, but I mean, I try to do. I know
so you
I
can
have
fix
a problem.
Your problem yourself.
Well, I mean, who's going to fix it for me?
Let me ask you a question. Have you read this book, and have you found there where it says that if a sinner just walks 45 million old ladies across the road, thou shalt be saved? Is that what it says?
I
you don't even know.
I would say it doesn't.
It doesn't say that.
Right.
No. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to his mercy that he saved us. Let me ask a question. If we could handle this issue on our own, then why did God have to get involved? And by the way, what did he do to help you and I handle our sin problem? Do you know?
John 3:16.
For God so
loved the world
that
he gave
his only
begotten Son.
Well, who is that? What's his name?
Jesus.
So Jesus Christ, by the word of God, the testimony, came to this earth, right? Remember we talked about him being born of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life, 33 years roughly on earth. And then at the end of his life, do you know what happened?
Well, yeah, that's when he was on the cross.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he on the cross because he was a thief, because he was an insurrectionist, a robber, a cheat? Why was he on the cross?
Well, that's the way he was there to die for sin.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so humanly speaking, man, they railroaded him. They lied against him. The religion of that day, like you were talking about religion, they hated Jesus, right? So we would say any religion that hates Jesus probably is a false religion, right?
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
So they wanted Jesus out of the way so that their religion can go on. They wanted to keep living high off the hog from all the people, so they had to get rid of Jesus. But in the midst of all that, Jesus did something special for you and I. He hung on the cross. He shed his blood. He died and went in the grave. And then by his own testimony, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And then he walked on earth for 40 days. He walked through walls in that time frame. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Amazing. Thomas missed that meeting, came back the next week. On and on and on. These are all things found in the Word of God. But for 40 days, he came back and he testified to what he did on the cross as full and final payment for the sin of all those that will believe, that will be willing to repent of any idea of saving themselves and place their complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ as full and final payment of their sin.
So, you obviously believe that.
Oh, I do.
Well, so my question is, were you there? Did you?
No.
You just said Jesus walked through walls.
Did
you see him walk through walls?
I didn't.
So how do you know? Because I hear a lot of people telling me a lot of things.
Sure.
But my question is, how do you know?
Okay, so
did you see it? Did you witness it?
I didn't. But this book records the witness of it.
Amen.
Right? And so let me ask you a question. Do you believe, you a football fan?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Do you watch every game?
Not all, I mean, obviously not every game.
Not every game.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to someone talk about a game that you didn't watch yourself?
Yeah.
Do you believe that what they said was accurate?
I guess.
How do you know?
Well, I can go look at it.
You can look at the stats.
Yeah.
I can look at the stats too. And the stats are nothing more than someone else's opinion of, usually by firsthand experience, they write down by firsthand experience what they saw. right? And that's what this book is. It's just a compilation of testimonies of what people have seen and heard. And that's what's recorded in this book.
So you're just trusting the word of the people that wrote it?
Yeah, well, not completely, because the Bible says that it's not just written by man, but it's also given to us by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit, superintends the process, because it's his word. It's not man's word, ultimately. It's really an interesting thing what God has done. 66 books written here, 40 different authors, written over a 1,500-year period of time. And yet everything agrees completely, almost as if one person wrote it.
Okay.
And that's what happened. God actually wrote this for us, and he preserved this for us. Amen. Let me wrote down here just one little thing, just to make sure I got that little. Yeah. 2 Peter, right? Let me show you this in here real quick. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What's awesome about this text, it says that the Scripture, the Word of God, is not of any private interpretation.
So that means everybody can't just make up what they say it says.
Yeah, and so in 1 Thessalonians, it actually tells us, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so you mentioned religion before. Religions, I mean, people can believe what they want to believe, right? You and I have to discern whether or not what they believe is right in reference to what we're also going to believe, right? And so what God has done, and right now the Holy Spirit of God, no doubt, is working in your heart and in mine as the Scriptures opened. And he is, I believe right now, telling you that what you're seeing is right. You know, what you're being told is right, because we have the Word of God open. We're looking at it firsthand. Amen. And so Jesus actually said that the Holy Ghost, when he is sent, that he will lead us and guide us in all truth. And so if you were God, you would want to make sure, I mean, if you really cared about people, you'd want to make sure that there was a mechanism in place that if people would corrupt your word, because you being God, you want a mechanism in place to be able to weed through all that so people could still understand your word. And that's exactly what God has done. He has preserved this book, and down through the ages, dark ages, religion did their best to totally get rid of this book. Totally get rid of it, right? Tyndale, Wycliffe, all these guys that God used to pen these words and to get these words written down so that ultimately King James would actually be put forward to actually fund this project for this book we hold in our hands. It's miraculous that it took place that way, because everybody was trying to get rid of this, but yet God has preserved it so that you today could hear this truth and ultimately be born again. And so God not only has preserved his word, his Spirit now bears witness with our spirit so that we can be saved. You've known this all the way through. God has given you a little bit of light, it says in John, so that when you hear the truth, it'll bear witness. And you'll be like, that sounds right. And you know it's right, because we're looking at, it's his word. Amen. And so God has made sure that you could actually know the truth, because it's the truth that'll make you free, the Bible says in John 8.
So,
question is, what are you going to do with it? I mean, you understand that the issue, the number one issue, is sin. And you're a sinner. And we don't have to go through your whole life to prove that you're a sinner. I mean, you've lied. You've called everybody else an idiot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that true, though? Is everybody else an idiot?
Well, no.
So you lied. I mean, it was an exaggeration, and I get it, fire for effect. The reality is that we're sinners, you know? You've cheated. You don't treat your wife right all the time, right?
Right.
Right? You've done all kinds of things. You've thought bad thoughts. You know, you've lusted. You've done a lot of things wrong. And the reason you have is that you're a sinner, right? Sinners do one thing really, really good. We sin.
So how do you, am I just going to like take a blue pill and stop sinning?
Not a blue one. And not a red one. Fauci definitely doesn't have the answers. We can agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The one that has the answers is Jesus. And you know, in his word, he actually tells us what you can do to be saved. Paul actually said that he came and he preached repentance and faith. Repentance just means that you're willing to admit that God's right, and that you're wrong. That God is the one that matters. You and I really don't matter. That God's works are actually effectual and can accomplish what we're talking about, that our works can't. There is nothing you and I can do to save ourselves from this sin issue. Not a thing. Going to church won't cut it. Doing religious things like being baptized won't cut it. Having parents that were right or good or knowing the word ain't going to cut it. Having a daddy that's a preacher, people like that, ain't going to cut it. There is nothing you and I can do to save ourselves.
So I get saved, and then what? I mean, I'm not going to sin anymore?
Let's talk about what it means to be saved. Here in Romans 10, I love this verse 8 that sometimes a lot of people just don't even mention, but it's so neat. I'll go and read it for you. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Nigh means close. Mm-hmm. This is the word. It's pretty close to you. Amen. The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth. You've spoken. I heard you. You even knew a little bit of John 3:16. It's been in your mouth. The very word of God. Think of that. His word. Amen. And it's in thy heart. You said you believe it. It's there. You believe that this is God's word. You believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth. You believe in God. It's in your heart. That's a blessing, amen. It says that is the word of faith. You mentioned earlier, how can you believe these things? It's by faith. God convinces us. And we haven't seen it, right? But by faith, we believe it. Because we know it's true. You know, deep down inside. You can try to give all the reasons for not believing and all that. For some reason, you keep coming back to the point, and you know it's right. You know it's real. See, that's what faith is. Faith is being able to believe it without having to firsthand see it, right? And so it says, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou, that's you, shalt confess. Confess means to agree with God, to say the same thing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's this doctrine the Bible talks about called imputation. Imputation simply is you and I have an account. We talked earlier about a judge. A judge is going to judge us. His name is Jesus. All judgment's been committed to him. And you're going to die. I'm going to die. We're going to stand before him and give an account. Amen. And he's going to, the Bible says the books will be opened. And another book opened, which is the book of life. And God is going to search through those books. He's going to have a book that lists whether or not you have life or not, whether or not you're saved. And then there's going to be a book of the works of John Haley. He's going to search through that as well. And if you're not found in the book of life, then he goes to the book of works. And you will be judged out of that book concerning the things you've done in the body, whether good or bad. And you're going to fall short of God's glory. And God will have no choice at that point but to cast you into hell. That's where sinners go. Awaiting that time, then we'll also be then cast into outer darkness called the lake of fire. That will be the penalty for your sin. Amen? Imputation means this. Your record of works can be switched out with the record of Jesus' works. So imagine there'd be two books. You have your book of works, and then you have the book of Jesus' works. Which book do you think is better? Well, Jesus.
Right.
So what happens at salvation, when you get saved, those books are swapped. It's the great exchange. And so you, all that you've done, he takes upon himself. He says, take my yoke upon you. He invites you to receive him. And when you believe in what he did to deal with your sin, literally what happens is you become justified and all his righteousness is imputed to your account. So that when God looks at you, he no longer sees the works of John Haley. He sees the works of Jesus Christ. He's now the veil. By his blood that's been shed, he now is your covering. When God looks at you, he looks at you through Jesus Christ. And so when you, by faith, believe and are willing to accept that the work of Christ is sufficient to pay for your sin, and you're willing to abandon every other attempt to be saved, and place all your faith in Christ, and you with the mouth are willing to express that, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
It's that simple.
The work's been done. You know what the hard thing is? In life, what happens is we build up all these barricades in our life to insulate us from being hurt, from being disappointed. And then every time somebody does something wrong, we put another barrier in place. In order to be saved, every one of those barriers you've put in place to insulate you from God has to be removed. And as soon as all of that is removed, and you by faith sincerely in heart, without excuse, without question, without doubt, when you can accept that what Jesus did for you is legitimate, and you express that with a heart of belief, and you express that, and you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you'll be saved.
So then if I get saved, then I don't go to hell.
Correct. Well, Jesus did that for you.
So then I go to heaven.
Absent from the body is present with the Lord. But really, it's not all about where you get to go afterwards. The reality is that once you're saved, you're actually put into Christ. So wherever Christ is, you'll be. So he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So if the reality is that we that are saved, we're only going to be in heaven a short time, right? Because Christ is coming back to earth. He's going to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And after that, of course, heaven and earth are destroyed, or he creates a new heaven, a new earth, and all that. So wherever he is, you're going to be. So it's not really about where we'll be in reference to a location. We just know we're not going to be in hell because we're going to be in Christ. And Christ isn't going to be in hell. Do you believe Christ is going to go to hell?
Well, no.
Of course not. And so wherever he is, I'll be. And that's good enough for me.
So,
let me ask you this. What right now is keeping you? What's that roadblock right now in place that's keeping you from just believing his word? We read it, right? We read in Romans 10 that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou would be saved. What's keeping you right now? What is that barrier in place right now that's keeping you from just saying, I'm ready?
Well, yeah, I got a lot of things, you know. I'm not the kind of guy to just, you know,
jump right into something. Well, if you died, you'd jump right into hell. You are that kind of guy because you're lost. You okay with that?
No.
A lot of COVID lurking around lately. A lot of people dying. You know, you could be next. You okay with that?
Well, I don't want to die, but I'm going to.
If your heart stops pumping right now, you're going to drop over. You look like you could lose a little weight.
How?
The reality is that we all have our physical issues, don't we?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Don't you stand in jeopardy every hour? Every moment you delay, that's really it's kind of a risk, a gamble, isn't it?
So you're telling me, I mean, I'm just standing right here in the middle of the electrical aisle, Menards, that I can just talk to God and get saved?
Absolutely.
That just seems
a little right, doesn't it?
I was going to say weird. I would think you'd have to go to church and do it.
The devil definitely doesn't want you to call on Jesus right now. He wants you to go to hell. Hey, but it's your decision. Ultimately, every one of those barriers that you're thinking, hey, my life's going to change. What about my friends? What about all these aspirations? What about my drinking? What about all these? And the reality is that not one of those things is important enough for you to hang on to. Miss out on what God has for you. Holy Spirit's moving right now. You reject right now. He might not be working tomorrow. And you're going to be stuck with you and all your works. And when you stand before God, you don't have the book of good works of Jesus. All you have is your own. If that's what you want, that's fine. You make that choice. For me, when I was faced with this, it took a little while to wade through it just to make sure that what that guy was saying to me was right. But I wouldn't delay. I do pretty quickly.
So, like, I mean, you kind of put me on the spot here.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you're saying. But, you know, you said yourself that, you know, it took you a little while to kind of get your head around things. Yeah. And
I was stubborn.
So, you know, yeah, if I walk away from that idiot
you were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah, well, we all been there. So, but if I walk away now and, you know,
hey, why don't we get together? Let's do lunch or something. Why don't we? You want to do that? I mean, this has been pretty good. It's been a blessing to know you.
Yeah, you seem like a nice enough guy.
Maybe about a week or so. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah, we got that one under the coffee table. Big.
You can get that thing and hit off, right?
Right.
Open that thing up.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
So I'm assuming you go to church. I mean, obviously.
I do. Yeah, right. I do. Go to a really good church, McGregor Road Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, I give you a little invite. Here's a track. I actually wrote this one. And it talks about the difference between light and darkness. And right now you're dwelling in darkness, but I want you to come to the light. But if you'll come to church, that'd be a blessing. Here's all the service times. And this particular track actually has my email on it and phone number.
Oh, so you're the pastor?
I am.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Well, that makes sense.
But I'd love to have you be my honored guest if you come. I care for you. I definitely want to see you come. And it's been a blessing to talk to you. But I wouldn't put this off. What's more important than you just come and come into our church and being there is your soul doesn't matter. And it's an issue that you have to look into.
I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
I got to get some things done here.
All righty. You have a good day.
You too.
All right.
That was intense. Wow, I almost got saved again. So, praise the Lord. But that was phenomenal. If you want to try next week, get with me, and we'll make something. We'll make arrangements for you to come up here. It takes guts. But let's dismiss in prayer. Brother John, would you dismiss us?